Hello and welcome to this month's Singing for Your Soul radio show. I am cozy. It's fall. It's actually about 70 degrees outside. It's incredibly gorgeous. And I've been trying to get outside and enjoy some of that fall weather, even though the holiday season is getting pretty busy, as I'm sure you all know. So welcome. And this month, I have on a wonderful and very special guest. Everyone that I bring on is wonderful and special, or will be. This is my first guest, actually. And I wanted to bring her on because she has a very inspiring journey. And it's something that I want to share. I'm hoping that you listeners will get a lot out of listening to Elena's story. So we're going to be bringing on Elena Pinto. She is the lead singer of the band Alni Lam. And Alni Lam, for those of you who are wondering, is actually the name of the middle star in Orion's belt. And it's also derived from an Arab word that means string of pearls, which would make sense if you're looking in the sky at Orion's belt. It's going to look like a string of pearls. So from the get-go, you get the idea that this band is pretty dreamy and atmospheric. In fact, that's one of the ways that they're often described. Dreamy, atmospheric, vivid images, and soaring harmonies. Alni Lam's music is alternative and post-rock influenced. So they are doing quite well now, starting to get some very good press for an alternative band who's up and coming. And I want to introduce you to Elena in a moment, and first introduce you to Sarat Arslan, who is the second main member of the band. The band was really conceived between Elena and Sarat. And Sarat lives in Los Angeles currently, but he is originally from Turkey. And he moved to Los Angeles, and a few weeks after moving there, met with Elena, and they started working together. They met online, actually, and Sarat is a really prolific composer, and he's a wonderful guitarist as well, and he's been composing since he was 18, and since that time has published 8 instrumental albums on Bandcamp, and that's just in the last 3 years. So he says, "Through it all, I never stopped composing. I will never stop." That is drive, because many of you know life can get kind of wild, and it can be very challenging to keep our focus on a specific trajectory, and he has that focus going on. So that's Sarat, and he's a great guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him in person on several occasions. And Elena is a dear friend of mine. I can't wait to introduce you to her. She's a singer, songwriter, artist, and producer. She lives in Los Angeles, California as well. And she's originally from Costa Rica and grew up listening to her brother's record collection. She says she spent her childhood really singing along to all of these amazing albums and really having them become a part of her, and that she used to sing constantly, and she also dreamt of writing lyrics. So this has been with her for a long time. She worked as a freelance artist and muralist in New York City and had a number of very prominent, recognition and showings of her murals and her art. So she did very well as an artist. And then a little bit past that, she decided that she wanted to start writing music. Point, I would love to bring Elena on and introduce her. Hello.
Hi. Hi,
hello.
Kimberly. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. I forgot to say in my introduction how much fun we had, that we met when you came to work on your voice for voice lessons.
Yes.
And we just spent so much time having a great time talking about life and art and working on singing and laughing hysterically. So I'm just really delighted to have you on today, because I think you're just...
Me too.
You're such a wonderful person and personality, and I can't wait to share what you have to say.
Oh, thanks. You are also. I had so much fun with you. I mean, I really remember laughing until my tears were coming out of my eyes. You were such a great teacher.
Oh, I remember some pretty serious laughing fits where I think I fell off the piano bench. So, yeah, that was really fun. So I'd love to start with what's your story? I'd love to hear a bit more. I know I've shared some of it, but from your own words, more about your journey and starting wherever you want to start with it, wherever you feel is relevant for people.
Okay, I guess I would start with my childhood because it was really so infused with music that I do believe the roots, you know, are there. I was very lucky, very fortunate that my brother had an amazing record collection and I had that at my disposal, so I just listened to them, to his albums so much, and I was introduced to amazing artists, you know, all the range from, you know, very progressive things, you know, to very common, you know, mainstream, you know, artists, and I would say he had an amazing taste. He has an amazing taste. So that was great. And then also I was fortunate. I went to a very small school that placed a lot of emphasis on music. It wasn't, you know, like an acting school. It was just a regular elementary school, but they had plays every year that were written by the director of the school, and he would give everyone in the school parts. So we all got, you know, some of them were just regular parts, and some were singing parts, and I happened to get all the singing parts, you know. So that was good. That was also, you know, part of it. But I never thought it would be something that I would pursue as a career. It never really occurred to me. I went into art, into visual arts, and it was only later that I said, you know what, I love writing and I love music, and this is something that I remember when I was little thinking I would someday write my own lyrics, because lyrics were also very important. It wasn't just the music, it was the lyrics. And if I didn't have the lyrics in the album, I would get them. I would figure them out. So, you know, really, I think, you know, it was something that was building up in me all these years. I always enjoyed creative writing and poetry, and so it all came together when I moved to California. It was like the moment of, okay, I'm just gonna do this now. You know, I'm gonna try to write songs, and I didn't have much of a plan beyond that, but every step led into the next, and here we are.
Now, that just brought up several thoughts. I know that we have talked about the book The Alchemist.
Yes.
Is that what you feel has been happening? That you've been on this journey to. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say that it was interesting because it did have a part to do with all this, and maybe with the daring to pursue something new. You know, the book says that if you follow your dreams, that the universe will conspire with you. And so I started thinking, well, what if? What if, you know, I act as if the universe will conspire with me, you know. And it's funny because I sort of feel like Serhat has kind of that, you know, a similar, you know, maybe he has his own, but he has a similar feeling of like letting magic in, you know, letting things happen, and as opposed to blocking them and saying, no, can't be. You know, people were saying to me when I first started writing, they were saying, you have a chance in a million. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's probably true, but that's kind of a dismal way of looking at it. That's not going to get me anywhere, you know. So I kind of chose not to look at it that way and just, again, one foot in front of the other, you know.
And so it has so much to do with your mindset. The way that you chose to view the situation, and then the actions, and trusting that the next right action would show up.
Yes, and then to my surprise, it would. You know, it you know things started to fall into place in a very positive way, and I felt like, okay, well, let's just keep doing what we're doing, just more of it and bigger. You know, just the same thing, only more. And I'm not just, you know, I'm not going to say that there weren't setbacks. I mean, there still are all the time. I'm always finding out, oh, no, this is happening. Oh, now this is happening. You know, some things that may be interpreted as not so positive. But I have learned to kind of trust the process a little bit and say, well, we'll figure a way. You know, we'll figure a way around this. It's like if this road is not working, well, maybe this other road. And, you know, if that one doesn't work, then let's take a detour this other way. And, you know, I just
that's been such
keep
a,
going.
Something, that's been something that has been very apparent to me that is part of your character and your, really your life philosophy, I think, is the way that you would just come in every week, and there were, you know, there were wonderful things that were happening as we moved forward, but there were a lot of setbacks, and we had a lot of things that we would be discussing, and just the way that you chose to handle them, number one, we would laugh a lot, but the way that you stayed so positive,
humor helps.
Laughing always helps everything, as far as I'm concerned.
Always.
But it just is so apparent that that is what is allowing the flow that you're having. It's not that we never get things stocked up or that things never are challenging, but it's how we handle the challenges that do come.
Right. Yeah, it's the choosing to focus on the things that do go well, you know, instead of being bummed out about the things that don't work out or the dead ends or the backtrackings or the losses or, you know.
And even developing the ability to look at the quote-unquote setbacks and find the positive aspects of them, find what, you know, may be hidden there that is a learning for you that could be leading in the next right direction.
That is a great point. If you're non-judgmental about these things or try not to be, you may find that some of them actually lead to a better path, you know, an unexpected, completely different twist that you never would have thought of, you know, and that it's so much better than what you would have thought of, you know.
It's
so
funny.
I think it is
good
to...
Go ahead, Carmen.
No, just that it is good to try to suspend that critical voice as much as possible, you know, that says, oh, this is a disaster, you know. Well, maybe not. We don't know yet, you know. Let's wait and see.
So have you worked intentionally to sort of talk back to that voice that comes in? Because we do all have that voice that says, this is impossible, that you can't, you know, what are you thinking? How dare you try this?
You do.
Okay, so do you have any sort of practice around that?
No, just when it comes up, then, yeah, when it comes up, I tend to just fall back on that, fall back on the feeling of, well, we're not sure yet if this is a good or a bad thing. Mm. We're not sure, you know, instead of just automatically, immediately cataloging it as a bad, you know, as a negative. You know, we don't know. It just means we may have to think a little more creatively.
Which is a great thing, right? When you're trying to be creative as it is.
It's great. Absolutely. And it's liberating, too, because then you never know where paths are really going. You know, it's kind of like that open-ended future that I like to think of it that way, of, you know, this could go anywhere, really, you know, so let's choose to think that this is going in a great direction. And then, you know, I had confirmation along the way. I had very nice people commenting, like, on SoundCloud or, you know, YouTube or, you know, that were saying, you know, we like this, you know, more, mm-hmm. we want more, you know. So it was mm-hmm. kind of like a loop, you know, it was a continuating loop that the more positive feedback we started to receive, the more I wanted to do it and the more, you know, feedback we would get. So I'm very
yes,
thankful
wonderful.
To all the people that listen to us and comment.
Uh-huh.
Because they could have kept
yes.
their comments to themselves.
They could have. And then
yeah,
it wouldn't have had that wonderful impact to help you. So we really do have the ability to help other people move forward on their path by our positive
absolutely.
Feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good for all of us to remember that an encouraging word can go so far, so much further than we could ever even imagine.
Well, you were one of those people. I mean, you said so many wonderful things to me, including there was this one phrase that I remember all the time that you said, you have something to say. And that stuck with me because then, you know, when I would have those moments of like, what am I doing? You know, I don't really know what I'm doing here. You know, I would fall back on, yeah, yeah, that may be true, but I have something to say.
I'm so happy that I said that.
Oh, it was so helpful. It was so helpful. Maybe it was the right thing I needed to hear or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, you helped me in so many ways.
Well, I'm so, you know, I'm so honored to be part of your journey and so happy that we met and had the time together that we did.
Me too.
And, yeah, it was just very special. And it was obvious to me from the get-go that you had something to say. You know, I wanted to encourage you, even though when you came in, I thought, wow, well, this is a long stretch. But when someone comes in with a dream and it's really apparent, I am never going to be one to stand in the way of that dream. I want to, you know, give it wings. I want to help breathe life into it if that's what somebody wants. And I have been in so many situations where someone has come in with an idea that seems like maybe a little crazy or maybe, you know, like one in a million kind of chance. But if we don't listen to that inner voice that's urging us forward, we will never know where it's going to lead us.
Exactly.
And the lives, you know, there are so many people out there who haven't been able to listen for, you know, whatever reason, and there are many reasons that will come up. So I just want to urge people that if you do have a voice in there, we all have something to say, you know, and it's important to listen to that and let Carmen and I, let Elena and I be the ones who say that that you have something to say.
Yes.
And we believe.
Yes, you know, that absolutely, that also relates to a song that now that I remember this, that was kind of helpful in those days, too, still is, Morrissey's Sing Your Life. And you just touched on that everybody has something to say, you
mm-hmm.
know, and no, you know, you can't say, oh, my message is better or bigger or greater than, you know, or less, or, you know, it's no,
mm-hmm.
it's just your message, and that's fine, and that's great. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's what the song says. It says, sing your life, sing about the things that you love, sing about the things that you loathe. You know, you have a lovely singing voice, you know, just go ahead and don't leave it all unsaid, it also says, you know, which is a great idea, you know. It's like, well, you know, what's going to happen? You know, at the end of your days, you're going to look back and say, well, I could have done that, but I just never did. I never tried. You know, and I didn't
mm-hmm.
want to come to that point. I didn't want to.
And you didn't.
Look back and see. No, no. So now, you know, even, you know, whatever happens now from here on, I'm just happy I did it. You know, even if this is it for, you know, I mean, not that I think it is, but even if this were it, I would be happy already. I would be happy that I tried, you know, that I attempted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you attempted it, and so are all the people who now have the beautiful music that you've created. And it reminded me of a Martha Graham quote, where Martha Graham is, I think she's writing a letter to another dancer, and she basically says, if you do not dance your dance, no one will. And the world will be lesser for it. Yeah.
And you will. So, and you will never experience that joy of dancing your dance.
Yes.
Because it is a joyful thing. It is totally joyful. And if it's not joyful, that's one thing that Sarhat and I, you know, have had clear from the beginning. It's like, if it's not fun, why do it? It's hard enough, you know?
Yes.
But if it's fun, then it's not work. It's just what you want to do, you know? And
that's going to pull you forward in those times where things are difficult, if you're keeping that perspective. And I think that will factor into business decisions and the people that you attract and the way that the whole thing flows when you have that initial mindset. I really think that's beautiful. So I want to share some of your music, because we have a couple songs that we're going to play today. It was hard choosing.
Awesome.
I chose Allie Lam and Lilac.
Great.
Allie Lam and Lilac. And I think partly because we sang them a lot together, and I got to hear the various stages that these songs went through as they were becoming, both in your voice and in your being and in the recording studio. And that was just such an exciting journey to be on with you and to be watching the whole thing unfold. And I want to just briefly touch on, and then we're going to play one of the songs. We'd like to touch on your journey with your voice. And I'm talking, well, let's speak specifically to vocal technique and sound and singing. Let's start there.
Okay. Would you like me to just talk, or do you have specific
go
questions?
Ahead. Just
or?
Go, no, whatever comes to mind around that topic. What really stood out to you during the process of working on your voice?
Okay. The background is all the singing, you know, that I did when I was little, and
I think that trained me.
I'm sorry?
Can I cut in there for a second?
Yeah.
That point that you make about all of that listening, for people who are wanting to become better singers, listen. Listen with your whole being and let it seep into your pores, because we can't make sounds that we don't know how to hear. Our brain sends, we actually literally imagine the sound before we make it. So we imagine the sound in our inner ear, then our brain responds to the imagination and tells our body what to do. So it makes things so much easier if we can actually hear the sounds we're trying to make. So the more trained our ear gets, the better. But you're absolutely right that all that listening when you were young played a big role. Thanks for letting me say that.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right, because they did become internalized. All the songs, and I think without knowing it, I was training myself through imitation, because I would stand next to the speakers at my house. This was like all throughout high school, especially elementary too, but mostly high school. I would just stand right next to the speakers and sing along to whoever it was. You know, so many. Hmm. I can't start naming artists, because then we'll spend the whole hour on that. So anyway, I would just stand next to the speakers and try to get all the nuance that they were putting into their voice. I was imitating them. And so I think that paved the way for me and made it possible, so that when I came to you, you know, I felt like I was self-taught, and I felt like I didn't know if I was doing it right. But it turns out I was. You know, I mean, I didn't really know. You know, maybe some things I wasn't, but it turns out that a lot of it was done right. And so it was great to know what was working, what needed help, you know, what needed work. It just made everything a lot clearer for me. All of a sudden I had a direction, you know, and I knew what I needed to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So
which
that was very useful.
That
the confidence too. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you don't
I had
don't
to,
know if you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So go ahead.
And I had to record them. I mean, I didn't have to. I wanted to record them because that was the next natural step. You know, it's like, okay, now we have all these songs, and we've done our home recordings of them, but, you know, let's just face it, that's not, you know, that's not going to get us very far. So at that point, I made the decision to record them professionally at the most amazing studio. I just have to mention this. Arimaca in Los Angeles by the engineer is Manuel Jimenez. He is awesome. And
Carmen?
I'm sorry?
Does he have a website?
Yes, I don't have it now, but while you play the song, I'll go get it.
Perfect.
Okay, why don't
we do that right now? I really want to introduce people to the song.
Okay.
Do you feel ready to share that?
Okay. Sure.
Perfect. Okay. So we'll listen to Alni Lam, which is the name of the band and the name of this coming song. We're not getting the song cued. So, Carmen, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Courtney, if you can get the song Alni Lam cued, that's great. And we'll keep talking. I love that song.
Thanks.
I've heard it so many times, but I love it. I love the imagery. I love the sonic soundscape that it is. It's just, from the very first time that I heard that song, it has just been so vivid in my imagination. It's so, oh, Carmen. I'm sorry I keep calling you Carmen. This is how I know her from before. So,
that's okay.
Elena.
No problem.
I'm sorry.
My first name and my middle name.
Yes, and I know her as Carmen Elena, but Elena. So.
Just for short, it's kind of long, you know.
yes. Well, and it's a persona thing that as you grow, you know, as an artist, you know, a lot of times people take on one or more or a new name, so it's just part of that. But I just haven't adjusted to it yet, obviously. So,
totally.
Anything that you want to say about that song and the its creation?
I just want to say that when I hear them now, I hear the teamwork. I hear Mr. Hutch's beautiful, beautiful music, which you know, has always been the source, the inspiration, the everything. I mean, without the music, there would be no songs. And and then to that, you know, Manuel's expertise and also the strings. You know, when we came to Manuel, he said, what do you want? What else do you want? And we both said, strings. And so he helped us with that. He did us with Sandro Morales Santoro. He's a Venezuelan composer who is amazing, and we just clicked perfectly. I mean, the strings, the arrangements that he did fit so well into the songs. And then Manuel introduced us to a quartet, a string quartet that is just amazing. I mean, amazing. It's led by Eric Boulanger. I call him Boulanger. It's not a French last name, but it's kind of a joke. But Eric Boulanger, and he is the second violinist, but he's also our mastering engineer. So it's become kind of like a family, you know. It's become like, you know, and so anyway, all the teamwork that went into these songs is just, you know, not just that one, but all of them. You know, every time I hear them, I think, wow, but without this, it wouldn't be, you know, without that, it wouldn't be. So it's sort of like at some point they went out of our hands almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I feel like the sensation of like letting them go. You know.
Yes, and then they took
might
on
be
their
difficult
life
for some
that.
People. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they took on their life when you let them go.
Yeah, they kind of took a life of their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once other people put in their creative input, it becomes, you know, definitely more than the sum of its parts. You know, it's everybody giving their creativity and their time and their passion and their, you know, art is such an amazing thing, you know. Everybody just puts a little bit of their life into their work.
They
I mean,
do.
I know it's like that with all work, but I think with creative collaborations, it's even more so.
Yes. It's one of the most amazing parts of being a creative artist is when you get people together and it just... It becomes bigger than the sum of its parts, and it's just an exquisite thing to witness, for sure.
Yes.
So, Carmen, I need to take a quick break to do announcements.
Sure.
And then we'll keep talking, okay?
Okay, I'll be here.
So I've just got some announcements to make. It's going to take me a bit. There's a lot going on. So I teach voice lessons worldwide, online, via Skype. I keep it simple. I just stick with Skype. There are many other applications out there, but they haven't been as reliable, and I've really just found Skype to be super user-friendly. So wherever you are in the world, if exploring your voice, either in the metaphorical, your voice in your life, or your actual figurative voice for speaking and singing, or both, is something that you're interested in, go ahead and be in touch. I'm also on faculty as a voice teacher at the Jackson Symphony Orchestra Music School in Jackson, Michigan. I teach there one day a week right now, and I teach privately in Brooklyn, Michigan as well. So if you're local, we can potentially work together in person. And I offer private voice lessons, voice classes, voice workshops for professionals, for yoga teacher trainings, things of that nature. And I also do sound healing performances with voice, harp, Tibetan bowls, and frame drum. The next class series that I'm going to be offering is at Corinthians Church in Jackson, Michigan. And there will be two classes on two Sundays in November and two Sundays in December. Dates and exact time still to be announced. And we're going to be exploring our voices as windows to our souls and portals to the divine, which they really are. So that's the theme of this upcoming class. If you'd like to stay in touch and receive a free copy of my ebook, which is called 6 Tips to Skyrocket Your Speaking, Singing, and Self-Confidence, you can join the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. And you can also stay in touch on Facebook at facebook.com/singingforyoursoul. And finally, keep an eye out this Christmas season if you're in Michigan, because my wonderful musical and life partner, Marvin Riley, and I will be performing a traditional Christmas music program in various churches in the Jackson and Ann Arbor areas. And the concerts will feature voice, harp, hand percussion, drones, and Tibetan bowls. And the arrangements are really haunting. Once you start hearing that harp, it just takes things to a totally different level. So beautiful arrangements of beloved Christmas songs and newly composed songs. And we will also be releasing an album of traditional Christmas music this Christmas season. So if you're interested in any of the above, you can sign up for the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. Also, a great way is to just get in touch if you're not sure what you are interested in. Just get in touch at info@singingforyoursoul.com, info@singingforyoursoul.com, or you can call 310-502-9367. That was a mouthful. We're going to be sharing Carmen's and Alni Lam's contact information in a little bit as well. So those were the announcements. Carmen, back to you.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that Kimberly and the harp are an amazing blend.
Oh, thank you.
If anybody hasn't heard Kimberly on the harp and singing, oh, so beautiful.
You know, that was for me, it was a little bit later in life discovery. I felt like I was always trying to find my voice. You know, I did a lot of singing, a lot of different performing. But when that harp showed up on the scene, it was like, oh, here, this is my home. This is it.
That's how seemed to the people listening, too.
Oh, good. Even though my skills on the harp have a lot to be developed yet, I've actually come quite a long way in the past year. And, yeah, it's just wonderful to sing with harp. And Marvin is a wonderful harpist as well. So it's so amazing when he starts playing and I get to sing. It's wonderful. So yes. So, Carmen, there's so many things I want to ask you. Can you talk a little bit more about your songwriting, the process of writing lyrics and yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Okay, there are a couple of songs that are the exceptions to what the process that I'm going to say here.
Okay.
There were a couple of songs that started out as songs in Turkish that actually Serhat wrote. And so those I just wrote lyrics in English. I didn't translate them. I wrote like a brand new lyrics because it just it's easier for me if I just it's hard. I mean, it's like a puzzle, and so it has to come together. So if you're starting with bits and pieces, you know, it's harder. It's easier if you just make all of it, you know, yourself. But anyway, the process with most of them is that I will take an instrumental, one of Serhat's instrumentals that I love. You know, it will be one of my favorites, you know, the ones that speak the most to me. Or at least that's how it started in the beginning. And right on top of that, I will listen to them and listen to them and listen to them, and little by little, something will start to come up. And it will be maybe a phrase that kind of fits in with something, or it will be images that come to me, or, you know, it could take so many forms. But anyway, the main thing is at this point to not, again, be judgmental, because you don't know at that point where it's going, you know. So the more open you can be to what's coming in, the more likely you will be able to pull through all the way to the end. You know, don't limit it in the beginning is what I would recommend. So anyway, once you hear that little something, and that little something may end up being taken out at the end, you know, I mean, but it's what gets you into the song. And so I have come up with a name for that. I call it the foot in the door. So this first stage is the foot in the door. Yeah, it's just anything you can bite into, you know, anything that...
And you're not, there's no editing, there's no stopping yourself, you let it flow, and you
at this point, just write everything down, just start writing things down, you know, and however, which way they come out, and later you'll worry about it, you know, just...
Right.
In the beginning, it's just something, and it's got to be something that gets you kind of excited, you know. I mean, it should be, and for me, something that I relate to, you know, either based on something that I feel strongly about, or a memory, or a person, or, you know, something that I know I will probably relate to even, you know, a year or a few years down the road. So...
Can I say something about that, too?
Once I get into that... Yeah, sure.
Can I just interject something? I've noticed in my process of writing, if I kind of have gotten myself into the place where I'm engaging with a sound and image world, is how I will say it, you know, if I'm... images much come up for me as well. But what will start to happen is... I've started to pay more attention to my thoughts as I am moving through my day. So I don't necessarily need to be sitting still and writing. What I will often do, and I don't know if you do this, Carmen, but this may be helpful for some people, I'll notice that sometimes I have really beautiful thoughts. And I've started, because I have my phone with me most of the time, I'll just make a note. I just have a note that's like super long at this point in my phone. And I just add little snippets, you know, whatever image came to me. And I just keep track of those. And later I go back and I see what they can become.
I like that. I should start recording, too.
You'd be surprised at the thoughts you have throughout the day that you then forget about that then just get lost. So I found that to be really...
It's true. It's true. And the same goes for melodies. You know, if you think you're going to remember them later, good luck. You know, sometimes you will if they're really strong, but if not, you know, it's in the middle of the day and it's like, oh, I had something earlier that was really nice. What was it?
Yeah.
You know, so it is good.
Yeah, so people, we have our phones nowadays, so use your little voice memos and just sing that melody in there. Get it in there. Or that lyric, you know. Use your phone. That's been one of the biggest things for me.
I'm just going to mention one thing that has been technically very good for me is a very simple program called Audacity. And I would say if I can use Audacity, anyone can use Audacity. It's really quite easy, and you can just record yourself in even different tracks, you know. So then you can overlay or cut or paint. You know, you can do whatever you want, and that also helps once you get to the, well, I'm going ahead of myself, but when you get to that stage of recording it.
And all the first tracks that you brought me, you were recording on Audacity, weren't you?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And then I would upload them on SoundCloud and show them to Sir Hat, because we both have to agree on the songs. If we both like them, then we go forward. But
right.
We both have to like them, because, you know, that would not be okay if only one of us likes it.
Now, that process seems to have been rather smooth. The two of you working together seems to have worked very well musically. Do you want to add to that?
I would say it's worked so far very well because we have kind of had a division of labor. You know, he was he would create the, or he creates the music, you know, and I create, you know, the lyrics and the melodies on top. And so nobody really is telling anybody what to do. I'm just going to be honest here. I mean, I think freedom is important. And I think if you're working with a team of people and you want everybody to give their best, that the more freedom that people can have, then they'll be happier. You know, no,
I agree.
You can't always do that, but the more you can do it, the better. You know, people should just be happy and fulfill their own creativity.
Right. Now, obviously, for that to work, people have to have a similar or complementary aesthetic that they're going for.
Absolutely. Once
you've gathered the people together that have that aesthetic in mind, then it can work really, really well. Yeah.
Right. I'll tell you, when I first heard Sir Hat's music, I had tears in my eyes. You know, I just heard it and I said, this is just beautiful. So yes, it really helps. And again, the same thing with Sandro's arrangements. You know, we all love them. So, so yeah, it really helps.
Well,
to have a
good team.
A good team, yes.
Yes.
Oh, and to the singing process, I have to just add one thing that I didn't say is repetition to the writing process. I mean, I listen to these instrumentals like 100, you know, who knows how many times while I'm writing them.
I think that's really good for people to hear, because sometimes we think that it should happen faster. We hear a finished product. We see finished products and hear them all day, every day. And we aren't very connected with the long, slow process of actually bringing something to creation and actually getting good at doing something. And it can take so long. So be patient and don't judge your early efforts. I think that's really important to hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The second stage, I call it the flailing. And the flailing to me has this image. Yeah, I have names for all three stages. This one is like, for me, the image is the robot from Lost in Space and waving, you know, his arms going, you know, danger, danger. But, of course, he's not saying danger. He's just flailing around, you know. So that, to me, is what happens in the middle. The big middle is that. It's just you're going to be flailing. You're going to be lost. You don't know what the song is about or, you know, where it's going. But the thing is, at this point, you kind of have to relax and take like a step back and say, that's okay, I can flail for however long it takes. Some songs take days, some songs will take weeks, some songs you will abandon and come back to. You know, when I was in art school, a teacher said that all paintings go through a stage where only a mother would love them, where only a mother could love them, or something like that. And that also stayed with me because, you know, it's true. It is so true. And the same thing happens with songs. There's going to come a point where you're going to be like, I really don't think this is any good, or, you know. And this also reminds me of an article by Leonard Cohen that I read recently, where he says, don't abandon what you're working on before you know what you're abandoning. You know, don't quit before you know what you're quitting. Because, and he said it so beautifully, he said that to make a diamond, I mean, you have to go through all the faceting phase before you know if it's going to shine. You know, you don't know. You don't know what you have. So, anyway, and then the third stage I call the crafting. And that's when I know what I'm doing. That's when I said, okay, that's what this song is about. You know, you have a direction. It's just a matter of keep polishing, you know, keep working at it, and the puzzle starts to come together, and then at some point you say, okay, it's done.
That's beautiful. So your three stages are the foot in the door, the flailing, and the crafting.
And the crafting.
I love it. I love it. Oh, that is just such wisdom right
because
there.
Because you're like, oh, my nutty ideas.
I do. But this is not nutty. This is a beautiful, simplified description of the creative process. That's exactly what this is. It's brilliant. You're brilliant, Carmen.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Wow. We could just keep going, and we have to wrap up. Just thank you for sharing all of this wisdom and all of these insights.
Oh, my huge pleasure.
It's just...
Thanks for having me.
So amazing. And I definitely will want to have you back on the show and check out, you know, things that are happening in the future. Can you tell people, first of all, I forgot to mention that you are releasing your second album November 13th, right?
That's right, yes.
Can you tell people
it's
where
to go? It's
called
Into the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's available for pre-sale right now on Amazon, but after the 13th, it will be available everywhere. It'll be on, you know, iTunes and all those big names, and Bandcamp, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find all this either on our website. Our website is alilamband.com, or our Facebook. Our Facebook is Alilam Music.
Facebook.com/Alilam Music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it here so I can. Yeah, it says www.facebook.com/Alilam Music. That's the Facebook.
And Alilam is spelled
A-L-N-I-L-A-M.
Yes.
If you Google Alilam Band, we are at the top of all the searches.
Okay, perfect. Good job, guys.
Great.
Carmen, thank you. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I keep calling you. It's just old habits by heart. Elena, thank you so much for your time and your insight.
Thank you.
And we're going to end with, I hope we have enough time, we're going to end with your song, Lilac.
Thank you.
And their official music video is gorgeous, and it is to the song, Lilac. So check that out on YouTube. Okay.